This is Patty Daniels. I'm the executive producer of Vermont Edition, and you're listening to today's podcast. This episode has been edited for clarity and brevity. Enjoy.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Peter Hirschfeld, in for Jane Lindholm. Even under the best of circumstances, passing a local school budget can test a community's resolve. Add in a racially tinged debate over the appropriateness of the school mascot, and the process can become politically explosive. That's the situation right now for students, teachers, parents, and school board members at South Burlington High School. The district has decided to retire its rebel nickname over concerns that it celebrates the Confederate Civil War soldiers who fought to preserve slavery. The move has angered many, and residents opposed to the decision have turned votes on the school budget into a referendum of sorts on the rebel name change. Voters in the South Burlington School District have already rejected two budgets, in no small part because of frustration in some corners over the decision to retire the rebel mascot. They head back to the ballot box on June 6 for the third and final chance to get a spending plan in place for next year. If the budget goes down yet again, the district will default to last year's budget, and that outcome could have some stark impacts on educational services in the city. Joining us first today is Nicole DeSmet, who covers South Burlington and education for the Burlington Free Press. Hi, Nicole.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's great to have you. Nicole, help us understand the various issues that are contributing to this debate going on right now in South Burlington.
Well, there are many things, and it's a very complex issue, many points of view. So first, there's the historical viewpoint, you know, of where and when the name and symbols first came from. And then there's, you know, the people who are part of South Burlington who came in or were in school during the or were born in the late 80s or late 90s and aughts, who have no memory of anything to do with the symbology that was originally attached to the name. And so couple that with you know, budget and costs and you know, a division, and you've got quite a situation.
This issue of changing the rebel nickname has become one of the central components of this debate. You've looked in depth, Nicole, at the history of the South Burlington rebel nickname, and these are not new concerns. Is that right?
That is correct. I took a dive into the archive, and I found that almost from the beginning, I found one of the original, Vermont student council members who told me that his mother had been against the name. And then in 1964, there was a student revote. The headline for that was "Dixiecrat symbol comes under fire at South UAL Burlington High." They were forced to revote, and the Confederate flag that they were using at the time then became still unofficial and only to be used at home games, which shows that there was some conflict there in the community about its use.
Decades, then, of people talking about this. What changed this time that led the board in February to finally make the decision to retire the name? What convinced them?
You know, that's a really good question. I think that, you know, it was a combination of things. They themselves had, you know, heard the issue in 2015. They had seen, you know, evidence of the history of it. And then students were, you know, forming their own diversity union and doing, I guess, you could say, community education on their own. I do believe that there was a bias class that the administration, or perhaps some staff as well, took this class and came to some more conclusions that they hadn't originally thought of in terms of, you know, what the name and the past and the fact that maybe you can't get away from the past. It keeps on coming up. You know, it's come up every 5 or 10 years since the beginning. So they decided to overturn their decision on the grounds of unity, on the grounds that, I think Patrick Burke had a really good statement about if everyone can't unite under one symbol, then it's actually a division in the community, and therefore it should be retired. I'm summing his words up.
And yet we find that quest for unity somewhat hampered by the fact that not everybody is on board with this. There's been a lot of opposition to this name change. How have opponents been organizing, and what's their argument for keeping the rebel name?
They can probably best say that themselves, so I will attempt to, their argument. The name, the latest I can find its use was in, I guess, the early 90s, if that. But by 1999, I have a confirmation report that it was no longer in use and that they were still deciding about the name. So you have a whole generation of people who, have been so far removed from it that it was a shock to them to even know, I guess, where it was coming from. So there's that side of it, and then there's the side that, sees and knows the historical nature of it and really can't, looking back, just want to move on and do something else. So, but the people who are conflicted just really don't want to, they say that people have already moved on, that the rebel name means something else now and it's done. There is no connection to that Confederate past. So that's really the split.
We want to give people a sense of how this conversation is going on in the community itself right now. And here is a sampling of some of the back and forth from South Burlington residents at a school board meetings over the past few months, dealing with debates over the proposed budgets and also on the changing of the rebel nickname.
For me, it's a symbol of slavery, and it's a symbol of many things I do not want to see at my school, and it does not make me feel welcome.
Second, I think it's important to take a broader perspective on the term rebel and what that means in terms of the heritage and in terms of the memories of this school.
Don't make the rebel identifier name change part of your decision on voting for the school budget or not. I think that's a mistake. That said, I think the rebel identifier should be addressed because I think the way it was processed was egregiously flawed.
But if you read and study the racial history of our country, you'll see that this rebel name is embedded in those racial policies.
The majority of us feel that the rebel name is fine. They have, done away with the Confederate flag.
It's devastating. I just feel it's so hard for all of us. I mean, whatever side you're on, and sitting in that room, I'm looking across the room, I get the other side, and I like those people. I just disagree with them wholeheartedly on this particular issue.
Nicole, the intensity of this debate is evident in some of those clips we just played there. The proposed school budget for South Burlington has been rejected twice now by voters. In your view, how central was the mascot issue to the outcomes of those two previous votes?
Well, I think that they served to tip the scales. It might have been a closer choice for the residents of South Burlington, but indeed there are enough people in the so-called Rebel Alliance, which is both a political action group and a Facebook page, to, I think, really tip the scales on, if they wanted to, on the budget.
We will have a third vote on that budget on June 6th. What happens if voters reject it again?
Well, as you said earlier, I do believe that it would revert to the last voted budget that passed, which would be the current budget, which is would be called level funding, and that's the funding that was approved the previous year.
The school board received a petition asking it to put the question of changing the rebel nickname on the ballot. The idea behind this is that the broader community should be controlling this decision rather than a few members on the school board. What was the board's response to that?
Well, there was a movement they recognized the petition. I believe that board member Steve Wislowski, I hope I'm pronouncing his name correctly, put the item up for, to be seconded. There was no second. The motion failed, And I think that is the end of that. There is a second petition regarding the rebel name on T-shirts or sports gear, I should say, that that is still, I guess, to be decided. It's about not spending taxpayer money on those items.
And in the midst of all this, of course, some South Burlington schools were repeatedly placed under lockdown last month after receiving threats against specific students and faculty. A South Burlington High School student has been arrested and charged for these threats. Can you bring us up to date on that story?
Sure. So we have a student, Josiah Leach, who just last on Friday, I should say, pleaded not guilty to federal charges. And those federal charges were that he sent an email threat. Several times he's accused of sending them, but this one time via email, specifically targeting 5 staff members, 11 students. So he could serve 5 years for this. Leach's lawyer requested 90 days to prepare for this case because it's super complex, she said, and she said federal investigators are still analyzing the electronic devices that were found at the home. So the investigation isn't quite over yet. I don't know if more charges will be brought than just that one federal charge. So that's what's happening now. He has to stay away from the school. They have to implement a plan for his education. They're required to by law. So he is not currently going to the school. I believe he's under home. He's with his mother, I believe, until such time as he is charged or formally tried.
Well, Nicole DeSmet, thanks so much for joining us today, and thanks for your coverage as well on these issues. Nicole DeSmet covers education in South Burlington for the Burlington Free Press.
Thank you so much for having me.
Today on the program, we're talking about big debates around the South Burlington school system, over the proposed budget for the district, and also over a long controversial nickname. We're joined now by two voices at the center of these discussions. Elizabeth Fitzgerald is chair of the South Burlington School Board, and David Young is the superintendent of the South Burlington School District. Elizabeth, why is South Burlington having such a difficult time right now passing a school budget?
Well, I think there's a whole variety of reasons, Pete, that we've received. Obviously, you've had a chance to talk to Nicole on a few minutes ago, and we do know there's a large contingent of our community who is opposed to retiring the rebel nickname and has voted on the budget accordingly to make their voices heard. We also have gotten quite a bit of feedback from the community on a number of issues like sustainability, like labor negotiations, and just the despite the 2 years of tax decreases that the district has delivered to voters, just concerns about cost per equalized pupil in our school system.
If you had to assign what's responsible for most of the difficulty around passage, do you feel like it's the rebel name change or concerns over finances in the district?
I think the initial defeat of the budget was actually that our top line growth was fairly high at about 7%, and there wasn't a clear understanding that revenues offset quite a bit of that growth. The current budget that's been proposed to the voters represents a little under 5% top line growth, but the net effect after revenues is 1.6% growth with a 1.2% tax decrease. So I think it's a very responsible budget that's in front of the voters right now, and I think it's up to the voters to really judge that budget on its merits.
David, you've been living this controversy for months now. To what do you attribute the difficulty in getting the budget passed?
Well, I think Elizabeth appropriately indicated that. I think there's a multitude of things going on, that top line number that she indicated earlier. And I think just a general understanding of education finance. Education finance is complex. We've worked hard, I think, over the years to try to make it simple. But I think that's one area that's often difficult for folks to understand. I think, as Elizabeth also said, we've had some, as far as participation by our taxpayers, we'd love to see more people participate and recognize their voice. Typically, that varies somewhere between 22 and 25% of our total voters participating in our budget, unless there's a higher draw, particularly during the presidential period.
Elizabeth, the budget that's going to be going to voters in June asks for about $49.2 million. How much have you cut from the budget from the one that was originally presented? And what have you done to lower that number? And how is that going to affect educational programming at the school?
I think I need to defer that one to David. He's got the detail on the changes that have been made in the budget.
David, you've been volunteered.
Yes. So we initially, again, as Elizabeth said, we're just a tad over $50 million with our first one. And again, she had alluded to the percentage increase. We're now down at 4.89% on the increase. And some of the things that we've done, we have worked hard as a district. Again, I think it's important to recognize the words that sit on the front of our high school. It's about building a proud tradition. And one of my charge from the school board, past school boards and current, is to make sure we're moving forward, meeting the mandates that are required. And as a result, we have had some initiatives in there. We've had to pare back some of those initiatives, and we've made some deferments in some of our stewardship planning. I'm very proud of our district and looking at kind of how we take care of our brick and mortar, but we've deferred some of those things. That said, we still do have a considerable amount of things that are going to happen this summer, with the hope of this passage of this budget, including things such as high school windows that are just single pane windows. So making some pretty considerable upgrades there. So,
I gather, Elizabeth, that this June 6th vote is really the last bite at the apple for the board and for voters. What happens if this budget vote fails?
Well, I think that needs some clarification, Pete, actually. If this budget were to fail, and again, I want to reinforce, we believe it's a very responsible budget delivering a tax decrease, but we would need to provide as a board some direction to administration around where to go from here. The city charter allows us to operate 100% of the prior year's approved budget, but the charter also requires that the board really work diligently to achieve an approved budget. So we have not had any discussion nor has any decision been made at the board level about what interim steps might be. But we do have to determine, we were obligated to determine what would be required to achieve a level funded budget, because we have an obligation under contract law or contracts within the district to provide employment notifications to our staff.
David, walk us through what that level funded framework would look like, what kind of cuts you would be required to make, and what sort of impact those reductions would have on educational programming.
So as Elizabeth said, when we went through that exercise in order to get back to level funding, remember that when we began the school year this year, we had to have some incremental increases in staff to support some students that were coming to us with trauma and some specific behavior-related matters. So as we move on, and if we had to fall back to a level fund, we needed to make reductions in our staffing levels and what we call as reduction in force. To contractually obligated to do so. Obviously, we would see pretty significant reductions. It would change the numbers of courses in which we would be able to provide. It would increase our class sizes at our elementary level and change some of the things that we're trying to do through initiatives to be prepared to meet mandates that are upon us.
And we have Julie on the line from Burlington. Julie, what do you think?
Hi. Hello.
Hey, Julie. What do you think about all this?
Hi. I just think that what I'm hearing is a lot of justifying, a lot of excuse making, a lot of very defensive white people, to be frank, who want to keep white-splaining why the rebel name doesn't have racist connotations, why there's no problem, make it about the budget. And what there needs to be is an understanding that the people who are experts in what is oppressive and what is racist are the people who are on the receiving end of that. And the families of color in the South Burlington District and the ally families who have supported them and joined them in this struggle are the experts. And those are the voices that everybody should be listening to. I'm so tired of hearing people telling them that they are not experiencing what they're experiencing. And quite frankly, if the will is there, the money is there. We see that time and time again. If the will is there, the money is there.
Julie, we hear you. Thanks for calling in. And we have Luke on the line as well from Morrisville. Luke, what do you think?
Hello.
Hi, Luke.
I just find it ridiculous that, I mean, it's just a name. Are we going to now change, like, Rebel Without a Cause with James Dean? These people are exactly what Phil Oakes sang about in Love Me, Love Me, Love Me, I'm a Liberal. They need to find something actual worth fighting for. So it's just, they need to get a life. Well, they were arguing about all this stuff. Donald Trump snuck into the White House. And, you know, that's just kind of the way it is. It's ridiculous. It's sad. And these kids are not oppressing anybody. And a rebel used to be a good thing.
We hear you,
Luke. Not a racist thing.
Thanks for the call. We'd like to bring another voice into this conversation. Stacey Savage is a South Burlington resident, active in the Rebel Alliance group, which opposes the nickname change and has also inspired resistance to the proposed school budgets. Stacey Savage, welcome to Vermont Edition.
Thanks for having me.
Stacey, what does the term rebel signify to you?
To me, rebel signifies my high school alma mater. I mean, we were rebels when we were in school. My kids were rebels. It was the team name. It was, you know, showing spirit and pride, and we would fight for whatever we thought was right. We would win, you know, sporting events, and it had none of this Confederate connotation that everyone talks about. I understand that some people feel that that's the way it is, but for me, I graduated in 89, and I heard somebody say earlier that up until 1999 there was the symbolism. I don't remember seeing any of that, and I don't remember it ever coming up. So I guess we see problems where we want to sometimes.
Obviously, you have a lot of fond emotional memories about your days as a rebel. Why are those so tied to the continued existence of that rebel name? How would its change have a negative effect on the experiences that you had as a rebel?
Well, changing the name is not going to affect the experiences that I personally had, or any other rebel, for that matter. It's not so much about what experiences that we had, and I know some people have said to us, you know, forget your glory days or you're trying to relive them or those kind of, you know, silly things. It's not about that. It's about the point with the name and how this all came about and the democracy involved in this. And we just we feel like the school board has not listened to us. And even listening to Elizabeth and David talking earlier and giving their reasons for the budget being voted down, clearly they're not even recognizing that this name issue has gotten so many people upset. Excuse me, there's no question the name issue got us involved, which I think is a fantastic thing. It got a lot of people involved in a lot of different ways. So civic involvement is amazing. However, once they're involved and we started looking at things further and seeing this, this top-line growth of 7% going, wait a minute, what's going on here? This is not sustainable for us. So there was monies in the budget for changing the name. Granted, now they're saying that those monies have been taken out, which I think is a little bit of smoke and mirrors because there are still refinishing of gym floors where they're removing any of the rebel name. There's some different ways like that, that they're still making some changes, but saying that there's no monies in the budget. So now we're at a point where we have a 5% increase, but we also are looking at that. Yes, there's a tax decrease. We understand that. That's not the point. The point is the spending is just plain out of control. And I guess it's the residents of South Burlington have some ownership in this to say we haven't been as involved. They've had their budgets rubber stamped all along by the community. This has never happened. So the divide that has happened in our community right now is just, I've never seen it like this, ever, ever. So they would talk about making the change of the name on the grounds of unity, but really all it's done is torn us apart.
Stacey, for some people, the rebel mascot embodies a history of oppression that people of color have experienced in this country. And maybe it means something else for you, but for them, it's a chilling symbol of slavery and the people that fought to preserve it. Can you appreciate why they feel this way about that name?
I can certainly appreciate why someone would feel that way about a symbol. However, the symbolism has been gone for many, many, many years. It's not even a part of what the rebel name means today. And, you know, let's take a positive approach to this. We're talking about teachers here. Educate your students on what this name means. There's so many meanings to the word rebel. It's not just that.
Stacy, the whole purpose of a school mascot is to unify the school. If South Burlington wants to be an inclusive community where all members of its student body can feel safe and valued, why keep in place a mascot that some people really do find offensive?
The question is, what mascot is going to unify everybody in the school? You're always going to have somebody upset about one thing or another. And where do we draw the line with the whole PC movement and say, okay, enough is enough? What do we change? I think one of the callers was just talking about Rebel with a Cause. Where do you draw the line with what you change? Are you going to erase the history books? Are you going to take those out of the school? Are you going to say this doesn't, you know, things don't exist anymore because it offended somebody? And that's, it's the democracy of this and not listening to the community. And, you know, we go back to what the school said. Let's see who we can make inclusive of this. So they did a survey, and there was 92% of the student body surveyed either had no issue with the name or it didn't bother them at all. That's a strong amount of people, 92% saying this isn't an issue. So moving forward, they changed the name for that 8%, which, okay, we want to make everybody feel inclusive. However, again, where do you draw that line? But then the school board changed. They changed their mind and said, no, we're going to keep it because we're going to educate our students. We're going to educate our community. We're going to educate everybody and make them feel like they can be inclusive with this name and that it doesn't have this negative connotation. But then sporadically changed their mind again. At no point in there did they make the taxpayers, the ones who are paying for all of this, aware of this. It was a very quick transition, and when we brought the petition forward to say, hey, we, you know, you have these rules in place and these laws in place. We followed them. We did our side of it. Now, here's the petition that says we got the recommended amount of voters. Let us have a vote. Let us have a say. And they continuously just debunk us and just want to say, no, that, you know, the community, it doesn't matter what the community says. We want to dictate the terms. So, you know, Vermont's democratic ideals are not being upheld here. And it's quite frustrating. And I think the bigger reason that they're continuously getting these no votes is the sustainability of the budget, not listening to the taxpayers, and there's still more cuts that they can make. I mean,
we're gonna be talking about just that, Stacy. Stacy Savage, thanks so much for joining us today. We really appreciate your perspective. If you'd like to weigh in on any of these issues, you can call us at 1-800-639-2211 or post on the Vermont Edition Facebook page. David Young, Elizabeth Fitzgerald, you heard Stacy Savage there. What do you say to somebody that comes to you with that perspective?
You know, if I can speak to that, first of all, I have complete respect for the group of citizens that went out and did all the work to get petitions. And I know, based on some of the feedback we've gotten from the community, that there are some that appear to believe that having the authority at the board level to make a decision results in one that is necessarily uninformed or unilateral. And neither of those characterizations are true. When the board received those petitions, the primary questions that we needed to consider were whether the district was required to warn the ballot initiatives, and that is to present them to the voters, and whether any vote would be binding on the district. And the short answer to both those questions, Pete, is no. It's unfortunate. This is an issue that we're going to have opinions on either side in terms of retaining or retiring the nickname, but that decision not only remains with the authority of the administration, it remains with the board at this point. Our city's demographics are changing, and not all of our students can or will participate in athletics, which the petitions were geared at. our administrators and our teachers who interact with our kids every day, hear their concerns, see their challenges and accomplishments firsthand, tell us that a new mascot, a new nickname, will make our schools more inclusive and welcoming places to learn and grow. And the board has listened to that.
David, you hear from a lot of people who say, look, let's put this issue to the voters. Now, as we hear from Elizabeth, that would not be a binding vote. Nonetheless, why not let the community weigh in on this in some sort of ballot issue?
Well, again, I think those of the folks that understand kind of the expectations of the electorate and of the school board's charged. They're also in charge of me and evaluating me, but they're charged with putting forth programs that are going to continue to meet the outcomes that we want for students. And so that's their charge. There's always opportunities for people to communicate to the board around how things are going, how things could be better, et cetera. I want to just circle back for just a second.
Please.
And I think on the cost piece, you know, over the last 10 years, our tax rate that was just brought up, you know, we've been – our average has been about 2.26. And I think it's been a responsible process in which we've highly engaged with the community. I think our student outcomes, as far as academic outcomes and the staff that prepares them for those future next steps, is quite known. And our spending is certainly not the highest. We have 109 that spend more than us out of the 266 districts in Vermont. And I think, again, on the name issue, we do not want to take away those proud moments from our graduates or our community members that have a fond connection to the name. We want that to still be an opportunity for them to unify with those memories. We aren't going to change the things in the trophy cabinets. We aren't going to put tape over the name Rebel. We're proud of our past, but we want to have the same opportunities for the kids going forward. We want to allow them to unify and to be proud and not to have a name that has any sort of controversy or divides them. And, you know, that's really, I think, the hope for us.
We're talking with Elizabeth Fitzgerald, chair of the South Burlington School Board, and David Young, superintendent of the district. This whole episode, I assume, has had a real profound effect on the South Burlington community. What has that effect been, in your view, Elizabeth? Has this been something that's brought people together? Is it something that's dividing people? What do you feel this has done on the whole for the people that call the district home?
Yeah, I do think, Pete, that this has become quite a divisive issue. I think there's a lot of opportunity for us to reflect when the dust settles on how to better participate in communicating, engaging with the community. I think, though, opinions and passions have run pretty deep in support of or against retiring the nickname. I think the feedback that's been gathered over the 18-month process the board has gone through has not really changed the basis on which board members made their decisions. I think boards are elected to make difficult decisions regarding our schools, and I think the community has engaged in a way that has actually resulted in some very positive dialogue on other issues that our electorate should be very engaged in and interested and involved in. I disagree with Stacy on the notion that budgets have been rubber stamped in the past. We've had a very supportive community. But when you look at a 10-year history of sort of 2.2, 2.4% budget increases, that's a pretty responsible track record.
We have Brenda on the line. Brenda is from South Burlington. She was on the Citizen Budget Committee and actually changed her mind about the Rebel name. Brenda, take us through your thought process.
Yes, I'm a parent of a sophomore at the high school, and my son graduated last year. And I truly disagree with Stacey Savage saying that it wasn't a democratic process, it wasn't transparent. I have been going to budget meetings for years, and most of the meetings, there are at most four or five people, and nobody really wants to hear sort of the drudgery of the day-to-day issues. You could hear crickets most of the time until this whole Rebel thing came up, and now it's like standing room only, and hundreds of people show up. At the beginning, I was like many other people in the community, thinking, oh, you know, that's not what we mean by Rebel. But as I listened, I went to meetings, I heard people who are really hurting, you know, black athletes who have to wear the uniform that says Rebel. I listened and I realized, hey, we are a community. And what that means is that we have to take care of each other. So even if it's a small handful of people, people have to be open-minded that if anybody is hurting, it's our responsibility to address that. So I did not agree with the name change at the beginning, but my thinking evolved, and I support it, and I believe, as David Young and Elizabeth Fitzgerald have been saying, that the process is extremely responsible. It's very transparent, and I don't understand. I think these people think that it was a vacuum because they weren't showing up at meetings, and they came in late to the game, and now are saying that, you know, it's not a responsible process. I have served on the Citizens Budget Committee. These people are very intelligent, very thoughtful, and I don't agree. And I really think we need to accept the mascot name change and move on and heal as a community and budget. I mean,
I'm curious on a human to human level, how is this playing out? I mean, are you reaching out to people that think the name should not change and trying to convince them that they should let this go through?
And show up at the poll and vote whatever way their heart tells them to vote. But I really hope people do that in an informed way. I hope they listen to the students, because this is really all about the students. It's not about the adults. It's about the students. And so people have to go in having listened to what the students are saying and vote in an informed and responsible way.
Thank you very much, Brenda, for your call. David, whether this vote fails or succeed, the tension over this name change is not going to magically disappear. How are school officials going to go about resolving that tension, and how do you begin to unify a community that is split over such an emotionally fraught issue?
You know, I think we continue to do the things that we have been doing and encourage our community to stay connected. You know, I think when there's conversation, when there's the opportunity to listen openly, to attend board meetings, to attend other public events, to get a chance to go and see our play like Annie that just happened from our middle school students, to band concerts and sporting activities, to be able to see some of the things that are available to our South Burlington community and greater community. I think those are the things that are going to be important as we move forward.
Dave is on the line with us. Dave is calling from South Burlington. Dave, what's on your mind?
Hi there. How are you all today?
Doing good, Dave. What do you think?
Well, my question is about the budget. I think I will touch a little bit on the name change. David Young, part of building that proud tradition is democracy. Feedback from some students were on there a line on where we could put a name in that we wanted and why it was just left to the committee. And then after 53 years in the city and really starting in the last 8 years to look at the budget, I feel as a resident there that we haven't had transparency, that we've had areas where there's been tens of thousands of dollars to spend at will. As when the last strike was on, we were called the Gold Town.
Looks like you're breaking up there, Dave. But we,
home.
Yeah, I think we got it, Dave. Concerns about budget transparency. David Young, address Dave's concerns for us.
Yeah, I think as I said earlier in the broadcast, you know, the proud tradition of the Rebel name. We're not wanting to take that away. We have graduates similar to Dave. We want to maintain that. Those trophy cases, those experiences, we want those to be preserved. That's not what we're talking about. We want to be able to move forward. And again, I think the school board, my administration, we have 42 individuals, mostly students, 6th grade through 12th grade, that are working on coming up with a new name that will be making a recommendation to the school board. We've had a lot of conversations regarding this. So again, I think it's been an open process. As far as the budget, again, you know, we're audited every year. You know, our board is watchful to the things that we're doing in respect to the community. And we always are looking for more folks to be engaged and connected to that process. So, again, I think this budget, as Elizabeth said earlier, it represents a 1.20% tax rate reduction, and it continues to provide the education that we think is so critical for our children in South Burlington.
Elizabeth Fitzgerald, Dave, who was on the line just a moment ago, expresses a sentiment that apparently quite a few number of people in the South Burlington School District feel right now as we move toward this June 6th vote. What's your message to a guy like Dave specifically for why you think he should come around to yes on this?
I think the message is really about that the board is hopeful that we can retire the Rebel nickname with the dignity it deserves for having really defined the quality and character of South Burlington graduates for over 50 years. We also believe that with time, the community can collectively embrace the choice our current students make to identify themselves and unify themselves going forward. I think Stacy said it best. This is an issue that is within the walls of the school. It affects the students who are in attendance now. And my hope is that community members will choose not to campaign against a budget, which I believe we all agree is in the best interest of students and the programming we offer right now. The majority and, in fact, 100% of elected officials voted to retire the nickname and to propose the current budget, which will be in front of voters on June 6th. And we welcome new folks on the board in the future. And we hope we're doing a good job at representing all our stakeholders in the district.
Talk, Elizabeth, about the importance of turnout on the outcome of this vote and what the board is doing to get that turnout as high as it can possibly be.
Yeah, well, we're doing programs like this. Pete, thanks for having us. I think the turnout at the last election, David, was about 24%.
Correct.
So the only 24% of voters came out to the polls the last two elections. I think that didn't change fundamentally. So I know there's a lot of efforts to reach out. We obviously hold regular board meetings on a pretty routine basis, but we'll, our goal is to inform the community, and I think others are trying to advocate for the budget that's in front of voters right now.
David, you referenced that turnout figure earlier. Why do you think it's so low, and what are people like you doing to get more people to the ballot box?
Well, again, I'm going to repeat the same thing Elizabeth said, Pete, and being available to speak about it with folks like yourself is important. But I think activating, the public, you heard Brenda, who was on earlier, I think people need to engage in deeper conversations. There's a lot here around our future, and our children are our future. And I think it's really important that we have these deeper conversations, about kind of the care and the opportunities that we want for kids.
I want to give you both a brief few seconds here to talk about whether or not you think this budget is going to pass and why or why not. Elizabeth.
Yeah, I'm optimistic, Pete, that this budget really reflects a lot of hard work by administration. I think we've received a lot of community feedback that has made the process better. Some of the complications of education funding in the state are really communicating what the local what local electorates are responsible for, and then what's influenced by state decisions as well as federal mandates. And I think my sense is that the community has a really good understanding of this budget, and that there's a lot of information available in terms of accessing more information and understanding that. And the board and administration continues to be available to help understand that.
And David, in just a couple seconds, you think this is going to pass or fail?
Yeah, I'm also optimistic. Again, I think, as Elizabeth said, a lot of great work. I'm proud of the administrators and the staff and the teachers that have put forward the information that we need and the services that we know are important for our kids. So I'm optimistic, and I'm optimistic about the conversation being a very centralized focus on continuing to do what's best for our kids. And again, I come back to that building a proud tradition is about building and continuing to do that work.
Elizabeth Fitzgerald, David Young, thanks so much for joining us today.